verses that sometimes are taken out of context. And tonight I want to talk with you about one of the most popular verses in the Bible. It's found in the Old Testament. Based on the Bible reading, you may have figured out it's in Jeremiah, but it's often seen on Facebook, other places, to provide comfort and strength and hope. And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, you'll see this verse. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This passage has been used by many people to motivate others to the great things that God has in store for them. If you just do a Google search real quick, you'll see that it's used in all kinds of different artwork. I've put some that I just found. I mean, hundreds of pieces of art have been created with this verse. And it is hopeful. It certainly is a message that is encouraging. And there's just a screenshot of some of the things that you find when you do an image search for this passage. So, what we want to talk about tonight is what does this mean? Some believe that if they are patient, that God will unveil a marvelous plan for them and their future. They may use this text that God's going to rescue them from some circumstance that they're in that's beyond their control. It may mean that they find a new job or a new boyfriend or whatever. So, whatever it is that they need, this verse sometimes is put out there and say, God's going to provide that future to you. And if you look at this verse by itself, then I think you could make it say a lot of different things. In fact, there's a website that has an article, maybe some have seen that. It's 7 great Bible verses to share on Facebook. And this is one of them, and here's what it has to say. Some of your friends may have seemed to found their calling in life. Some may be waiting for the next big break, whether it's from a job loss, midlife crisis, or something unexpected. Patiently waiting for God to reveal His plan for your life can be grueling. Share this encouraging reminder. And so Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, is shared for that purpose. But I think maybe we'll be really surprised at what it does mean when we look at the context in which Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 has, and maybe it's different than what a lot of people think that it does mean. So we need to shed light on this passage this afternoon. First of all, I want to look at some background information. Some background information about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet. He prophesied to Judah about impending judgment that was coming upon that nation. His ministry began in about 627 B.C., and he authored this book. And also the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is all about devastation. I mean, that's why it's called lament. That's why it's called Lamentations. It's the things that Jeremiah saw in Jerusalem after God's people were taken away to Babylonian captivity. And so you could say if it's a lament, it certainly was something to cry about. It's something to lament. And so prior to Judah being taken into captivity, Jeremiah warned the people about what was to come in Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. It said, "The word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah," that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, "which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah, to this day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken persistently to you, but you have not listened. You have neither listened nor inclined your ear to hear, though the Lord persistently sent to you all His servants, the prophets, saying, turn now every one of you from his evil way and evil deeds, and dwell upon the land that the Lord has given you and your fathers from of old and forever. Do not go after other gods to serve and worship them, or provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm." You know, this is really reminiscent of what we talked about this morning in Bible class. Here, what's the work of their hands? Well, the work of their hand is not them going and build a house. The work of their hand is idolatry that they're building. And again, they are told, I've told you not to do that, but you keep doing that. Verse 8, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send for all of the tribes of the north, declares the Lord, and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction and make them a horror, a hissing and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will banish from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the grinding of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And so what you notice here is that Jeremiah wanted to warn the people about what was to come. God was going to punish them because they were not listening to the prophets. And the people continued to engage in idolatry. If you notice here, it says that this was a message that Jeremiah spoke to the people for 23 years. He said, I've been telling you the same thing for 23 years. I've been preaching this over and over, yet it has not been listened to. So the people continued to engage in idolatry. Therefore, God was going to bring them into punishment. And that punishment was going to be the captivity for 70 years. And so that's the history that we have right here. And the things that Jeremiah prophesied certainly did happen. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 19 through 21. 2 Chronicles 36, 19 through 21. And they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath all the days that it lay desolate. It kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And so the events that Jeremiah prophesied did happen. So Jeremiah prophesied in Judah about the judgment that was to come. And God was using other nations and other kings to bring about punishment against His people. So understanding this background really does help us to understand what is being said in Jeremiah chapter 29. And you can probably get a picture from here that what is said in Jeremiah chapter 29 is really not going to be real good because of the message that Jeremiah is bringing. People had been rebellious, and as a result, they would suffer. Excuse me. So let's look at the text. The context here tells us that God is wanting to purge the people of their wickedness. He is wanting them to leave that wickedness behind. Look at chapter 29 and verse 1. In chapter 29 and verse 1, we see Jeremiah, when he is in Jerusalem, he sends a letter to those that are exiled in Babylon. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. If you notice in our previous reading, Nebuchadnezzar was called the servant of God. Well, you know, he was wicked, but you know, he was the servant of God, in that God was using him to do His will and to bring about, you know, the punishment that we see here that's going to come upon the people of God because of their disobedience. Jeremiah basically is telling those who are in captivity that you better get comfortable. If you look at verse 5 of chapter 29. We'll start in verse 3. This letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shapham, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Basically, you just need to stay where you are. You need to get as comfortable as you can. You're not coming back. So that's the message. Get comfortable and plant your houses and live in them. They were to also, verses 6 and 7, it says that they were to take their wives, have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare that you will find your welfare. So they were to stay there and, you know, if it was pray for peace there. And, you know, it must have been a very depressing message to get. You know, they were, what they needed to do is pray for the peace of Babylon, pray for those that are keeping you in exile. But also, what they are to do is they are to reject the words of those who are false prophets. They need to reject the words of those who are false prophets. If you look at verses 8 and 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. And we'll also look at verses 15 through 23, also talking about the false prophets. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David and concerning all the people who dwell in this city, your kinsmen, who did not go with you into exile. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am sending on them sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that are so rotten they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, a terror, a hissing, a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they did not pay attention to my words, declares the Lord, that I persistently sent to you by my servants the prophets, but you would not listen, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab the son of Kalai and Zedekiah the son of Messiah, who are prophesying a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall strike them down before your eyes. Because of them, this curse shall be used by all the exiles from Judah in Babylon. The Lord has made you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire because they have done an outrageous thing in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and they have spoken in my name lying words that I did not command them. I am the one who knows, and I am witness, declares the Lord. And so that's a very stinging rebuke of those who prophesied falsely. And, you know, there's also some responsibility involved with those who believe the words of the false prophets, because, you know, there were times in the past that false prophets had already gotten them into a lot of trouble. In verses 16 and 17, we see there in chapter 28 that there were some false witnesses, false prophets that, you know, had a message that people wanted to believe, but it really wasn't true. Chapter 28, verse 11, says, and Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within 2 years. But you see how that doesn't really square up with what Jeremiah said? Maybe they didn't need to build a house. Maybe they needed to rent. Because if they're just going to be there a couple of years, like the prophet said, you know, why get comfortable? This prophet was not right. This was a false prophet. And so he's speaking something that is not true. If you look in verse 16 and 17, it says, therefore, says the Lord, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. In that same year, the 7th month, the prophet Hananiah died. And so Hananiah was a false prophet, and his life was taken. But, you know, he had a message that a lot of people would certainly like to believe. You know, this is just temporary. This is just a couple of years. You know, you can deal with that. But God made it clear that there was a reason that they were in Babylon, and it was due to their wickedness. They were going to serve their punishment until the appointed time. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, it says, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." So there is something that is really not like what the false prophet said at all. But God said, it's 70 years and it's going to have, that's going to have to play out. So, after that, they could return back home. And so when we look at all this and we see this this wonderful verse that everybody likes right here in the middle of all this, what does it really mean? What does Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 mean, right sandwiched in here? But doesn't it seem like it might mean a little something different than what a lot of people think? Verse 11 again. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Well, you know, part of what's being said here is there is a future for you. It's 70 years down the road, and there's going to be a lot of pain right now, and you're just going to have to kind of get used to where you are, because the reason you're here is because of what you have done. You know, that's kind of a message of get prepared to suffer a little bit. And it's not quite the message that people, you know, post on Facebook, is it? And so, it is not really the best thing to put on a bumper sticker. What we see here is that God had plans for His people. But His plans for His people is that they're in a situation that's bad and that they need to repent. And they need to pray that they have a little bit of peace while they're in this situation, and it would certainly help them to be a little bit more peaceful if they would start repenting of the things that got them there in the first place. So that was the plan. Again, look at verses 12 and 13 that follow directly after the Facebook verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So, His desire for them is to repent. The text here is all about their infidelity with God. The infidelity of God's people and what God really desired for them. Those that are here, you know, want to have a hope for peace and not calamity, and they can have that if they will listen to God. And God says, I'm going to gather together my people that are scattered due to their wickedness. And so, yeah, there is some hope here. There is some hope, but that hope is based on them. That hope is based upon their reaction to what God is saying. But make no mistake, it's not that they're going to shortchange this punishment that they have in Babylon. God's already said, you're going to be here for a while. And they are going to have to endure that. So, this verse is, you know, more than just a feel-good verse that sometimes people throw out there, but it's one that really gives us an appreciation about God and His will. So what are some things that we can learn from this? First of all, we have to be careful how we study. And you know, just starting to do a series like this has made me realize how many verses are out there that we pull out of context and we don't really know what they mean. I mean, there's all kinds of things that make a nice slide or make a nice piece of artwork. And sometimes the things that they have to say, you know, are very true in concept, but they may be a little bit out of skew with what's really being said by the Scripture. I believe this is one of those cases. I'm not telling people not to be hopeful, but I'm saying this is a lot different than what you get on a cursory reading. So be careful how you study. You know, you need to look at context. And, you know, context is really important. You know, if if you went and told somebody just part of a conversation, just one sentence out of a conversation we had, they may have a totally wrong idea of what the intent was. And you see that all the time on TV and politics, where something will be taken out of context and it sounds horrible, but you didn't hear the beginning of it, you didn't hear the end of it, and they may have been quoting somebody else when they said it. But when they said and you pull it out of context, it looks horrible. And on the other hand, there's some things that when you pull out of context, it looks really good. And here's a situation where the people are really being told, you're here for a reason. You're in captivity for a reason. And it's on you. So, you know, get used to being here for a while and pray that it will be peaceful and that you'll be able to come to grips with what brought you here and that you'll come back to God and do His will. So be careful how you study. Always try to look at biblical context as if it's your best friend when it comes to getting to the right conclusion. Like, we don't like people taking our words out of context, and certainly, you know, God doesn't either. So that's a reminder as we study. Second, we need to realize that God expects us to listen to His Word. What got Judah into trouble, as we've read tonight, what got Judah into trouble in the first place is that they didn't listen. Flip back a few pages to Jeremiah chapter 25. And again, remember, Jeremiah said, I've been preaching this for decades. I've been saying the same thing. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 4 through 9. You have neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear, although the Lord persistently sent to you all His servants, the prophets, saying, turn now, every one of you, from his evil way and evil deeds, and dwell upon the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers from of old and forever. Do not go after other gods and worship them or provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. You see, it's the same message. And you can imagine as people are being drug out into captivity, they're saying, oh, what's happened? So why is this happening to me? Well, you need to go back and listen to your messages that Jeremiah has given you. In chapter 26, Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 2 through 8, says, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen and every man turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I send you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people that heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to the people, what do you think happened? They all listened to him and did what he said. No. All the priests and the prophets and the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh? Why have you said these things? Those are horrible things, Jeremiah, that you have prophesied, and we don't like what you said, so we're going to kill you. So the Jews historically rejected God's messengers, and when they reject the messengers, they're rejecting God. And so the lesson for us is, do we do the same? Well, certainly we see a lot of people in the world today that will reject the messenger of God, somebody that's simply reading from the Bible and explaining what it says. So you're speaking hate. You're full of hate speech. No, I'm just reading what the Scripture says. Well, I think you shouldn't be able to say that. I'm not going to listen to you, or I'm going to prevent you from letting anybody else listen to you too. And they're going to do that to Jeremiah. They rejected him. Jeremiah saying, you are going to reap what you sow. And they did. Because they would not listen to God's messengers and the message that they were trying to bring. And thirdly, we do need to realize that God does have a plan for us. His plan is for us to live righteously. Now, I know that's not probably what a lot of people are thinking of when they read this verse and see it posted somewhere. God's got a plan for me. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get this girlfriend, this boyfriend, or whatever, or get this house. Now, that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about God wanting people to live righteously. He wants people to love Him and show His love, show their love for Him with all their heart so that they will turn from sin. Flip over a few pages to chapter 29. Chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Again, it says, "You will call upon Me and come and pray to Me, and I will hear you. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart." That's, when are you going to find Me? You're going to find Me when you really try. You're going to find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. Not when you're half-hearted about it and straddling the fence. Not while you're not going to find Me while you're on your way to worship Baal. You're not going to find Me when you're trying to commit adultery. You're not going to find Me when you're trying to commit other sins. But what we see here is that Jeremiah is saying, even in the midst of all these trials, even in the midst of Babylonian captivity, God is saying that I'm still in control and I'm going to be here when you want to seek Me. But what we also understand from Jeremiah, part of God's plan here is that God's going to judge man. God is going to judge them. God did judge His people. It happened to Judah and it's going to happen to us. You know, there are many passages of Scripture that are abused. And we need to make sure that we don't do that. And so next time you see a verse that's just out there all by itself, and you're not really sure what the context is, you know, turn over and look to see what does it really mean. And you know, next time I see somebody post this, I might have a little bit to say educationally wise. Have you ever looked at the book of Jeremiah and see what this is really talking about? Jeremiah is telling us that you have to give all your heart to God. And if you want God's blessings, if you want to have real hope and real peace in your life, it's all about sincerely looking for Him and serving Him with all your heart. Let's don't be deceived. Let's not abuse Scripture and make sure that we understand what the Scriptures say. I hope this will be useful to you. We need to be the same way. We need to realize that one day we will be judged, and we will be judged according to God's will. So it's important to know what God's will is so that we can live by it, be obedient to it. Understand that God loved us enough that He set a plan in action for us, just as He did with the nation of Israel. And when they got outside of that, there was always a price to pay, and there'll be a price to pay if we don't follow God's plan as well. Let's do that so we can be at home in heaven for eternity with Christ and all those who truly follow Him. We can help you to do that anyway. We invite you to come while we stand together and sing.